Good morning. This is October of 2019, and I haven't made any of these talks in quite a while, so we'll see how this turns out. It is 11:16. I just finished the 15-minute meditation that we have every Sunday morning. The purpose for this 15-minute meditation every Sunday morning is to release Christ onto the scene. If you've been paying attention, you know that this world, the world that we see with our physical eyes, is in dire need of something. And so, if we have the ability to meditate until we touch this inner Christ and then release it to go wherever it will go, some part of this world will be dissolved. Some error will be, well, it'll disappear, and truth will appear in its place. And you may not ever know where that is. It could be that your inner realization of Christ as the grace that feeds us all, and you're resting in knowing that, could release that Christ somewhere in Bangladesh, so that in some way, unbeknownst to us now, they never ever have a food shortage. You don't know how it's going to appear. Maybe somebody's crying out, "Oh God, how could you take him from me? I loved him so, and now he's passed." And in its place, the person crying out has a spiritual awakening to find out that they're never alone. You just don't know. But I know if we continue to do this, not only is the Christ released, but some part of ourselves, some part of our false self, is erased at the same time. You see, as you awaken to the kingdom, you erase the false self. The two things go hand in hand. I was looking this morning for the scripture that says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." And I discovered that not only in Revelation was that said, but way back in Isaiah 65:17, it says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Then all the way down here to Revelation, John says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now the sea is that false state of consciousness called world mind. But anyway, we're going to take a look this morning at this book called Leave Your Nets by Mr. Goldsmith, who we all know as Joel. The first chapter is pretty tiny. It's 1-2.5 pages. But that's what we're going to cover today. And the reason why I brought up the new heaven and the new earth is because these two little pages and a half, if followed, will bring about a change in your inner consciousness. The false sense of self will begin to dissolve, and the new heaven and the new earth will begin to appear. And the two things are simultaneous. So let's enter into this chapter now. A lot of people read these books as if they're reading a thriller, and they can't wait to get to the end to see who done it. But we're not going to do that. We're going to read this book. I call it Entering Into the Chapter. It is entering into the consciousness that wrote or spoke the chapter. So we're going to do that together. And if you've had your meditation for 15 minutes, you should be pretty well centered. All right? And if you haven't, then you need to pause this and have your meditation first. Now, in order to enter into this chapter, we don't read it fast to the end. When I'm reading a chapter like this, I read a paragraph, perhaps only a couple of sentences, and then something draws me into it. There's an important principle, I can feel it. So I set the book down and I'm done, maybe for that day. As I try to practice that principle which I saw. And then I'll come back to it the next day. And I'll read again. I may go for the whole rest of the page, and then something at the bottom calls to me, and I put the book down. Okay, so if you have the book, you can do that same thing. If not, I suggest you get the book. None of these books are expensive anymore. I don't know what this was when I bought it originally. It says $11.95. I don't know if Acropolis Books have raised their price or not, but everybody should be able to get that. All right, now, Chapter 1 is called The Call, C-A-L-L, The Call. And this is something that happens to every one of us that are on this path. And so he starts with, God consciousness is a plane of consciousness different from that experienced by the natural man. All right, God consciousness is what? It's the conscious awareness of God, the conscious awareness of the presence, the conscious awareness of Christ. I don't care what term you give it, but when you experience it, it's a whole new plane than that of experienced by the natural man, which is the physical man or physical woman. That which you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell around you right now and always, through those five senses, you see a world that isn't out here. It's a world of concepts, universal concepts, which you entertain in the mind. It never gets outside the mind. Oh, I know, we could swear, hey, right here is a table. But the table is in your mind. And when you begin to have God realization, or as what he calls God consciousness, and you become consciously aware of God's presence, you're not going to see that table as you've been seeing it. Trust me, you'll see a whole new heaven and a whole new earth and everything in the earth. So, all he is saying here is that when you're conscious of God, The earth is different for you than the natural man, than for those who are not conscious of God. Let's take something that we can all probably relate to. Let's say we're kind of busy, we have some things to pick up, and we have to go to that dreaded place called Walmart. I don't know if you have any of those overseas, but here they're everywhere. So you have to go to Walmart to pick up some things. Now, your experience in the past has been that you get there, it's hard to find a parking place anywhere near the front door. You know you're going to walk quite a ways. And when you finally get in there and you get your things, some of them aren't there. Especially the last year or two, you go for something that you've always got and it's not on the shelf. They're out. Now you get what you can, you go up to the front register and there's a line. There's 10 people in front of you. Well, that's probably an exaggeration. Let's say there's 5 people in front of you. And you get up there, and you're wanting to get through there. You have things to do. But the register operator and the customer is in a chat. They're chatting together. Well, so how is Uncle Ernie? Oh, he's good. And you're looking at your watch. Okay, that's one experience. That's an experience of 5 physical senses as it approaches Walmart. Now, those of you that have been on this path for a while, you know that you can sit down and have a meditation, as most of us did this morning, and then you're reminded that you need to go to Walmart. What happens? You've made that contact. You've touched, you've had that God consciousness, if only for a moment, if only for a minute or two. And so, you get up, you're moving in God consciousness. You don't know it. All you know is when you get to Walmart, hey, there's a parking place right up front. You pull in there and you go inside the store and everything you need is there. You put it in your basket, you walk up front and the lady says, I'm just opening up, I'll take you. And you head right out. And somewhere down the line, maybe not even till the nighttime as you're reviewing your day, it dawns on you, wow, what a difference. What a difference between the natural man and someone that has God consciousness. So I know you've all had experiences like that. It may not be Walmart, it may be driving somewhere and all the lights turn green and traffic just seems to move out of your way. But you know when you have that experience of synchronicity, everything's going just right. And the point of this is, when you follow this way of life and you practice these spiritual principles and you practice this meditation and you carry it out into the street to the public, not speaking, but just knowing within yourself, well, I go before you to prepare a place for you. Everything just falls together with no effort. Now, that's the difference between that earth and the old earth, where you have to force everything, and you can't get what you want, and it's a struggle, and people are in the way. That's just a little example. Now imagine that you have traded in the entire natural man, the soul that lives through the senses only. You've traded that in, it's dissolved completely, and you're walking continuously in God consciousness. I think you can see how that would make a new heaven and a new earth. Isaiah experienced it, John experienced it, of course Christ Jesus experienced it, and many others. And so Joel has experienced it too, and he's telling us God consciousness is a plane of consciousness different from that experienced by the natural man. Now that different plane of consciousness gives you a different earth and a different heaven. He says, the natural man is acquisitive, fearful, doubtful, hesitant in thought and deed, all based on fears concerning the self. If you've ever analyzed how you have been living as a human being, you probably come to see that everything's a struggle. You're constantly trying to turn evil into good. Whether it's trying to overcome a cold, or trying to save enough money without something breaking so you can do something else, or trying to have a carefree, harmonious relationship with your spouse or your friend or your partner or your fellow employees at work. And that's what we do. We spend an entire lifetime, and I've said this many times, it reminds me of spinning plates. If you've ever seen those fellows who can juggle, and they're spinning plates on sticks, and they get about 15 of them going at once, and they run over here because this one's wobbling, and then they run over there, and if it's a comedy, they'll start falling and breaking, and everybody laughs. But that's what we live. We live that life. We're spinning plates constantly as the natural man. And so that's what this means to me. He lives in a sense of separation from God. And that's true. In my own case, I lived in that sense of separation for many years. But then something happened. And he says here, at some time in his experience, because of the depth and degree of his need, the natural man is turned inward to seek within himself for that which he outwardly requires. Now that's a first step. That's a baby step, but it's an important step because we've turned to God, toward God, which is within. And I know in my own life when that happened. And you perhaps know in your life when that happened. Something happened that was so painful. I had no other recourse. I had no other choice. I turned within. God, help me. And that prayer was answered. I had a spiritual experience. Now, he says, this inward turning becomes a search for God. A seeking for truth, and when earnestly and persistently followed, it results in the dawning of, in the dawning in consciousness of the varieties, the activities, laws, substance, and being of the infinite invisible. See, something happens in consciousness and we become aware of the activities, laws, substance, and being of the invisible. The natural man begins to die and the Son of God is being raised up. Now, we don't like to look at that too much, but it is a fact. If you long for this new heaven and this new earth, the only way for that to come about in your consciousness, in your conscious awareness, is the natural man must die. He says, now the seeker begins to realize some measure of his oneness with God, and he eventually discerns that spirit really is the essence and the fiber of his being. The realization of divine sonship is unfolding. A conscious awareness of spirit and its law and being. All right, so you see what's happening? What's happening inside? The sense mind, the material sense of living is beginning to dissolve. Maybe only in little ways at first. But at the same time that the material self is dissolving, you are becoming consciously aware of a new heaven and a new earth. And that's called here, a divine sonship is unfolding, a conscious awareness of spirit. The Christ, or Son of God, is being born again in the manger of human consciousness, and it evolves by stages to the degree of manhood in Christ, to the full stature of sonship, or God consciousness. Alright, so the name of this chapter, chapter 1, is called The Call. And the call is when you feel that calling within you and you turn within. And it's probably in the beginning just out of some severe pain. Maybe somebody you were really close to passed away and you can't understand it. And it forces you to look for answers. But as you go on and you turn within, it becomes a search for God. Something is calling you. Something is standing at the door of your consciousness and knocking. You may not hear any voice, although some people do. You may not hear anything, but there's this inner intuitive feeling. I must go on. I must search deeper. And so he says, on this higher plane, the old man appears less and less. Now, one becomes aware that this old man is not and never was a real identity, a real entity, but rather that a false concept of the creative principle and its universe had been entertained and accepted as truth. Now, he just slides these things in here when he's talking or writing. These were letters to students. He just slides things in that you don't even see. You don't even notice. Right here, he just said, the old man is not and never was real, but a false concept. So he just told all of us that the natural man, the material sense of self, is not real and never was. This is the very veil that covers the conscious awareness of God, this material sense of self. That guy that's getting frustrated, or that gal that's getting frustrated in the middle of Walmart, that guy, that gal, was never a real entity, but rather a false concept. That concept is covering consciousness. We entertain these concepts. Oh, I know her. I've been married to her for 30 years. She does this, she does that. Those are concepts. And entertaining those concepts, I can't see the God that's there. And so I have to die to these concepts. At first, it only happens in meditation. For a moment, I forget. And then I have an experience, a conscious awareness. And I say, oh my goodness, that was wonderful. I know now who she really is. I know now who I really am. Okay, so he says, more and more, the awareness of our true identity becomes manifest. And slowly, truth dawns in consciousness until God is beheld as one's own being. Now, if you read that, the last few words in that sentence, it says, God is beheld as one's own being. He just told you that the reality of you is God. This is an inner realization, not an intellectual understanding. If you have an intellectual understanding that the truth of you is God, you may go off into the deep end somewhere and believe that you can do this or do that. Or like my friend from India, you may feel that since you're really God and all of this is a play, you don't have to do anything. So you'll just sit and drink and be merry. But if you have this inner realization of God consciousness, of where you're consciously aware of God sitting where you are, then you may hear the words, "Be still and know, I am God." And it comes from within you, and you're startled. What? Wait, is that true? And you go back to the scriptures and back to the books, because you read it for years, but you never saw it. Now you're seeing it. You're having that inner real realization. That's what he's saying. God is beheld as one's own being. Now comes the understanding that man shall not live by bread alone. See, you didn't have that understanding up until then. Man shall not live by bread alone, but more by the consciousness of truth, that the acquisitive consciousness has given way to the I have meat ye know not of consciousness. In this new consciousness, there's no selfhood for which to fear, since God has been revealed as the only selfhood, self-sufficient and eternal. So there it is again. He hit it with you twice. He hit you with it twice. God is beheld as one's own being, and then God has been revealed as the only self. We all want that new heaven, and we all want that new earth. We can't have it until the natural man begins to die. And that's the part we don't like. I think it's kind of funny sometimes when I read that Joel says people would call him and say, "I need some help in this area, but don't treat me for smoking because I want to continue." Or they may not say it, but they may think, "Don't treat me for gambling, I want to continue with that." Or, "Don't treat me for drinking, I'm enjoying that at night." That's the natural man, wants to hang on. You can't have both. You can't have the natural man running things. You can't live in a material sense of existence, which is the natural man. You can't live in a material sense of existence and have the conscious awareness of God. The two can't live together. Choose you this day whom you will follow. Will you follow the natural man a little longer? Will you continue to live in a material sense of self? Or will you begin to die to that, step out of that, and step into the conscious awareness of the living God, of your living God self. Now you start that in your meditations, when you're able to forsake yourself and be receptive to God. You see, I'm reminded again and again, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Really means, to as many as were able to die to a material sense of self, stand still in their meditation, and just stop. Into that silence flows the conscious awareness of the living God, and you discover a new earth and a new heaven. Okay, we can see how all these things tie together. Silence is not an absence of sound. If you're sitting down to meditation and you think you have to have an absence of sound and be totally quiet, you don't. Silence is not referring to no other sounds. Silence is referring to an absence of self, an absence of world thought. That's the silence. And you can do that while you're walking or driving or eating or whatever. And this is what we must learn, an absence of self, an absence of a material sense of self, an absence of that world thought, thoughts about the world. When you have that absence of self, you will have attained the silence. And into that silence, into that inner receptivity that you have created by an absence of self, into that silence will flow the conscious awareness of God, and it will show you a new heaven and a new earth. You don't even have to ask for it. All right, so it now becomes apparent that life is lived by grace as the gift of God. And the sense of personal effort, human will, and struggle falls away. Life is lived by the law of God. The supply of our daily needs unfolds. The supply of our daily needs unfolds with no anxious thought from the infinite source of being. And that's what the children watching us learn this week, that it really does happen that way. The divine harmonies of human relationships are maintained by the beauty and activity of the soul. Unless one forgets himself and temporarily becomes a reformer of others, and by so doing brings on the enmity of the natural man, who desires not at all to be extinguished. Now see, he just snuck another one in there. He just snuck it right in, and we read right over it. Yeah, and we kind of probably chuckled at that. Yeah, trying to change others, I get it. No, you didn't get it. Because the last sentence says, the natural man desires not at all to be extinguished. In other words, the natural man has to be extinguished. You sitting there, Mr. Paul, Mr. Peter, Mr. Jerry, Miss Sue, Miss Mary, Miss Amy, or Mrs. Brown, Mrs. Smith, Mrs. Jones. You have to be extinguished. It doesn't mean that you're going to disappear. No, that's not what happens. You don't disappear. You stop living in a false consciousness, and the Son of God appears. You discover your real identity. You discover your real source, your real supply, your real companion, your real health, your real life. You discover it. And it begins to live you. But, yeah. The natural man has to be extinguished. I want a new heaven. I want a new earth. I want these good things everybody's telling me about that has walked this path for a while. Okay. Well, then the I that's saying I want this and I want that, that's the one that needs to be extinguished. So that you can be receptive and receive the gift of God. If we are rich, we are poor indeed, unless our wealth is in Him. If we are well, the body aches, unless our health is in Him. There is no peace, no security, no joy, except these be found in Him, whom to know aright is life eternal. Yes, life, joyous, peaceful, and serene. Yes, you can have a new heaven. You can have a new earth. You can have a new self. But it won't come into your awareness until you begin to extinguish that material sense of life, material sense of self, material sense of others. When the call comes to you to leave your nets, now what is he saying? Really? When the call comes to you to extinguish the false sense of self, you will understand that you are called upon to leave behind the limited and limiting sense of existence, because you are ready to drop your dependence on persons, things, and conditions of the world to live wholly in God. So, are you ready? Are you ready? If you are ready to drop that material sense of living that has to have these people, places, and things in order to function, if you're ready to leave that fellow or that lady behind, and reach for this higher consciousness, that's not really true. That's not how it feels. It's not a reaching. It's a letting. If you're really ready, then you will find a way, a place to turn within and be receptive, because you receive Him. You don't make Him, you don't create Him, you don't think Him. You receive Him. You receive the Father. You receive the Christ, which makes you consciously aware, or gives you God consciousness. And the only place you can receive that is within. And so finally he says, no longer will you so keenly love, hate, and fear the conditions of this world, the realm of effect. I think he softened that blow a little bit, because I've heard him say in other places that you have to lose your love, hate, and fear of this world. But he softened the blow a little bit. I think if it was just him talking, perhaps to himself, he would say, no longer will you love, hate, or fear the conditions of this world. But I think he stuck in so keenly, either he did or the editor did, so the blow would not be so harsh. But it's true. When this consciousness comes upon you, you will no longer love, hate, or fear the conditions of this world. Why, you ask? Because you'll be seeing through the veil of this world. You will be seeing a new earth, a new world, and a new heaven. And he says, you will not so keenly love, hate, or fear it, because now you will perceive the true nature of God as the cause, law, and source of your good. So that's the same thing. You will understand now that the infinite invisible is your rock, your fortress, your high tower, and your sanctuary from every storm and strife of human belief. Further than this, you will see that only the invisible is power, and therefore no power for good or for evil exists in the realm of effect. Now that was our realization last week, wasn't it? If you recall, it came this way. There is no world thought in the world. None. Now that was uttered from a place of consciousness that could see a new earth. No good or evil exists in the realm of effect. Your entire obedience and dependence will rest upon the within and not upon the without. That's something you can use that as a tool to measure your spiritual progress. Are you relying on something out here rather than within? And we all have to say, yes, I do. But the day will come when you will only rely on the within. And the more the natural man is extinguished, the more the Son of God is raised up. That is, the one who is consciously aware of the presence. In him we live and move and have our being. So, every one of us is walking in that direction, and I do not believe any of us have reached the place where there is nothing we rely on out here. For some it may be medicine, for some it may be an income, for some it may be stocks and bonds or property, for some it may be a significant other. So there's work ahead of us, and that's okay, I'm working too. When the voice says, I will make you fishers of men, you will understand so clearly that God is your being that those who come to you will seek and find spirit as their life too. You see? They will come to you, and by listening or following the principles you set down before them, they will also come to see that spirit is their life. And you will too. You will come to see it first in your meditations, and then while walking around with eyes open, spirit lives itself, and you'll feel it move through you, even as I do. And finally, he ends with, leave your nets and follow me. And that's a capital me. And so he's saying, leave your material sense of self and follow your conscious awareness of God. Follow it down within, deep down within. Okay, so it's only 2.5 pages, but the whole gist of the message is to leave your nets. Well, I can't. I'm too busy. I've got some fishing I have to do in order to eat or I've got this, or I've got to go to Walmart, or whatever. I don't have time right now to meditate. Just stop it, would you? Okay, fine. I'm not trying to push. Don't. Put it off for a while. Put it off for another season. Put it off for a few years. I'm going in, let's see, it's 12 o'clock, so in about 4 hours I'm going to my granddaughter's funeral. And she was one that my wife and I worked with for a while, and she put it off. She put it off, put it off. And I'm happy to say that she was attempting to follow spiritual principles the last year and a half of her life, 22 months. And then she went in for a surgery and never came out. So, I say that because, not that there's only one chance, she probably was moved way ahead on the path if she was open and receptive. Because as many as received him, to them gave he power to become that Son of God. So, probably in her crossing over, she realized quite a bit. Who knows, maybe she's ahead of me now. And that's good. She can give me some hints in my meditations. But the point is, don't put it off. Why are you putting this off? Yes, you'll have another chance, another life, another life, another life. Aren't you tired? Don't seek a better companion. Don't seek the right companion. Don't seek better health. Don't seek longer life. Don't seek a better job. Don't seek more income. Leave that. Leave that. That is your nets. All of those are the things that a material sense of self is concerned with. And you have to drop it. Well, you don't have to, but if you want to come into this new consciousness of a new heaven and a new earth, then you do. You really do have to step out of that way of living and seek God. Seek within for the Christ presence and seek to be a beholder of that presence moving through you and living itself. Every time it comes through, it dissolves a little more of the false sense of self. So, Isaiah was walking the same path that we are. The same exact path. And you can tell. Listen again. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Now that's Isaiah 65:17. He heard that within. He couldn't have heard that out here. He heard it within, and he spoke it. Somebody wrote it down somewhere and saved it. And all the way through the Bible, all the way down to, well, actually, 2 Peter says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So Peter is practicing the principles and looking for a new heaven and a new earth. And then we get to John here in Revelation, and he's attained it. He's attained it. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, that's God consciousness, I saw New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I just can't hardly read that and get through that. It's so overwhelming. God has prepared God consciousness as a bride adorned for her husband. For all of us. But not all of us will experience it right away. Some of us want to play around a little longer in a material sense of self. But those that won't, they'll follow John's direction. I'm going to read it because I like it so much. I know you've heard it before. Sorry. Well, you lucked out because I ended up over here in 1 John, so you won't have to hear the same thing again. But this is just as beautiful. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life, the word. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now there's a fellow who has seen and is seeing the new heaven and the new earth. He's been given this new consciousness. Why? Because he went within, and as many as received him, to them gave he the ability to see the new heaven and the new earth. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you. He's going to tell you about this new earth and new heaven right here. That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Isn't that wonderful? There's a fellow that you know he's experiencing the new heaven and the new earth, and you know how he got it, because he tells you. And he tells you in this new earth there is no darkness at all. In this new heaven there's no darkness at all. So you know the natural man who receiveth not the things of God, the natural man can't see this new heaven and this new earth. And we've discussed this before. Two people sitting on a bench. One's in heaven, and one's not in a very nice place, perhaps contemplating suicide. They hate this world so much. They're sitting on the same bench. But the difference is consciousness. The one who's in all that pain is wrapped up in a material sense of self. The one who's sitting there at peace and feeling the kingdom everywhere has this new consciousness. And how do you get it? Well, you get it from reading these books, contemplating them a paragraph at a time. You get them from perhaps listening to a talk from someone that is experiencing the new heaven, the new earth, even in part. And you mostly get it by turning within and being receptive. Joel has said that over and over and over again, because he knows what John says here is true. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see? It's a new heaven, a new earth right there. You're not that natural man who's born of blood, born of the flesh. You have followed what Christ Jesus said to do. You must be born again, born of the Spirit. And this takes place within you. And then you have the experience of being lifted up or out of a material sense of self and into a new consciousness, a new heaven, a new earth. And the Word is made flesh and dwells among us. and we behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, I snuck it in on you. But I just think it's so beautiful. Gosh, it's just so wonderful. John experienced it and spoke it, and somebody wrote it, and then somebody else copied it, and somebody else interpreted it in a new language, and finally we have it in English. And it's still right there. All of those times it was changed and spoken and written, and it's still right here. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. You see, the Son of God is what the Father made. The Father didn't make the material sense of self, because if you look up in the beginning here, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So that which was made into a material sense of self was not made by him. The material sense of self, the natural man, has to be extinguished. And it happens best in your meditation, whether alone or whether in a class or whether with a group that's meditating on Sunday morning. And as that a piece here and a piece there and a piece here and a piece there of that natural man begins to dissolve, at the same time you begin to come into an awareness of a new heaven and a new earth. You will find that everything changes without going anywhere. Everything changes. You will find that if you receive him, well, it's like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And home is in him, in the conscious awareness of God, or God consciousness. So you see, if we read this book chapter by chapter, paragraph by paragraph, we can come to see a great deal that perhaps we can't see just by reading over it real fast and putting it back on the shelf. The first sentence and the last sentence say it all, really. God consciousness is a plane of consciousness or an awareness different from that experienced by the natural man. You can say God consciousness reveals an earth and a heaven different from that experienced by the natural man. So, how do you get it? The last sentence, leave your natural man and follow me, God consciousness. Well, I had a great meditation before this talk, in which I felt the presence, and I wasn't going to give a talk until I did, and I did, and it flowed through, and hopefully it flowed through into this talk on the first chapter called The Call of Leave Your Nets. Thank you everyone who wrote letters of kindness and sent in donations. It's quite wonderful to see the hand of God working through everyone in the Mystical Principles group. It's wonderful. You know, I think I'm turning into Walter C. Lanyon, who always says, it's wonderful. I have to admit he's right. So, that's about an hour, and I guess we'll just close with saying, I love you. And thank you for listening, and be receptive to him.